Hi there, my name is Mary Killalea. Welcome to the To Be Bolder podcast, providing career insights for the next generation of women in business and tech. To Be Bolder was created out of my love for technology and marketing, my desire to bring together like-minded women, and my hope to be a great role model and source of inspiration for my two girls and other young women like you. Encouraging you guys to show up and to be bolder and to know that anything you guys dream of, it's totally possible. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. Hi there. Today, I am so excited and honored to have with us Alisa Silberg on the show. Alisa is a best-selling author, investor, and founder at Unemployable AI. With over 30,000 followers on LinkedIn, Alisa is an industry leader in the AI space. She is a cross between a survivalist and an industrialist, someone who has had to innovate and use whatever resources are available because they had to. Alisa also sees opportunities in the marketplace and capitalizes on those. She is the founder and CEO of Unemployable AI, specializing in harnessing AI to drive growth, scalability, and profits for companies. She is the founder and general partner of the investment firm Street Global, a leading venture capitalist in Silicon Valley, where she mentors tech startups and helps them go public. As an influential thought leader, she is a United Nations Women Empower Women Global Champion and an international board director. Recently, she's released a multi-award-winning book, Unemployable, How AI Transformed My Work and Life, detailing her harrowing and inspiring life story as a guide to infinite success and personal development. Alisa's education is truly awe-inspiring. She's attended Stanford Law School, Harvard, Kennedy School, Harvard Law School, University of California, Berkeley, University of Cambridge, University of Toronto, and Dalhousie University. And I'm stumbling over those, so I don't know how you got all those accomplishments. Oh my gosh, it's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm extraordinarily excited to be joining you today.
Well, I wish everyone could see us, and maybe they will if I do the video. We're both beautifully dressed in red, and I love it. So we're coordinated for the event. Okay, so there's so much to cover. Literally, your resume of education is staggering. Let's talk about your love of learning and just give us a little background how you pursued so many degrees.
So I have a passion for learning. It started at a very early age, and you know, it drove me relentlessly. So it's a theme in my book, of course. And I think intellectual exploration is something we all should, you know, just love and embrace as a cornerstone of our personal and professional life. And I think my early challenges growing up in South Africa, I am very, very difficult circumstances, and I never let limitations define me. And in the book, I tried to showcase these experiences, which instilled this, you know, resilience and this love of learning as a foundation for success. And I think the academics and the, you know, that was a key part of it. And, you know, I was very lucky. I got a scholarship to go to a private school very early on. And so that just all was foundational in terms of, you know, pursuing my higher education. And I believe that this multidisciplinary approach, it has founded me in a very successful position, in the sense that it's helped me navigate the complexities of technology a lot better, both and business and society. So I think having all these different angles to be able to leverage in terms of my career has been a critical part. But I think it came down to this curiosity around learning that's been with me since a very early age.
I admire that, and I have that. I share that love of learning. Let's talk about your career journey and how you founded Unemployable AI.
So it started with Excelliforce. So over a decade ago, I founded one of the first AI-driven companies. It was an AI-powered tool for sales calls, and it was a career highlight. And it's all in the book, and it was a wild journey. But my obsession is empowering people. And I saw very early on how using Excelliforce, we could empower our clients' sales teams' skills, confidence, and ultimately help their companies do better. And I saw how you could use AI And that was very early, in order to holistically transform companies. And that laid the foundation, you know, for the last decade, where I went on to found Street Global, which was one of the first, you know, venture capital firms investing in AI startups. And then also it was like, this was a theme throughout my life in terms of responsibility when it came to AI and, you know, innovating. And that led me to write the book, which I felt was important to be able to share. And each time it just kept building. And then with Unemployable AI, I'd seen, you know, building my own AI company, working with very talented AI founders, that we didn't want to keep AI only, you know, to a select group of people. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to democratize AI technology. And I felt like that was deeply entwined in my book. And I wanted to make it accessible, beneficial. And that was the commitment, both personally and professionally, that my personal, you know, experiences could help, you know, a broader society in terms of AI and its ability to truly transform companies and people, but at the same time, always with the with people at the center of it.
I think it's amazing that you're investing in AI companies and you're a female investor, which there's not that many female investors. So curious what your take is on being the minority in that realm, but also, what do you look for when you look for companies who you invest in?
So founding Street Global was a massive, significant career milestone, because it was as tough as you probably can imagine. And I'm sure many of your listeners have experienced, you know, those kinds of career challenges, and it required substantial amount of personal dedication, perseverance, resilience. And yes, as a woman, starting a venture capital firm in the heart of Silicon Valley, I experienced a lot of, you know, the challenges you can imagine. And I think it was this belief I had in the transformative abilities of AI and the importance of, you know, diversifying the landscape, that helped me keep on going, that helped me, like, you know, not give up when it probably would have at times been easier. And I think the idea that there were mentors in my life that played a big role, you know, who were willing to just keep investing in me. And I'm just telling me, you got to keep on going no matter how tough this is. And so I leveraged those relationships and, you know, I wanted to pay it forward. And in terms of investing in AI startups, I think my network and like the experts I surrounded myself with played a massive, massive role, because I enabled myself to use my AI knowledge and like my connections in order to, you know, help these startups scale in a way that significantly impacted their trajectories. Like, we laugh today, a substantial number of founders and I, we like laugh, because there was a period in time where no one would give these companies capital, and I'd phone investors and they'd be like, this is never going to work. This is going to fail. And, you know, you rarely have to stand in your power and be like, you know, I fundamentally believe in this. And so, you know, I'm obsessed with promoting diversity, you know, equity and inclusion. I've invested in the last year, six female founded CEOs, and each one is absolutely extraordinary. In terms of what I look for, I can give you some examples, because I think that's the easiest for your listeners. So if you look up a company called Ambience Healthcare, it's the world's leading autonomous scribe. And so these two founders, exceptional, you know, absolutely exceptional, you know, whiz kids, but at the same time had been through challenges in their lives. And so they were deeply committed to solving the healthcare challenge and understanding the importance of, you know, using AI to solve a problem that globally, you know, there's a shortage of doctors, there's a shortage of time, a shortage of resources in healthcare. And so in that situation, these were founders that had been obsessed with healthcare their entire lives. And so by the time they came to running this company, they'd had this, like, you know, level of understanding, and, you know, like, it was just an absolute burning passion. That's something I look for in founders. So a question I have when I speak to founders is, tell me about your childhood. Tell me what you were doing in your childhood that connects you to the problem you're solving now. And there's always some type of, you know, love, passion, interest. That's that connection point. So for me, that's a very important thing. Also solving, you know, a big burning problem where, you know, society will be fundamentally better for that problem being solved. That's a really important thing for me mm-hmm. too. I want to play a role in leaving things better than we found them. And mm-hmm. I believe startups, you know, solve the world's biggest challenges in a way that's very scalable. And you know, that's my obsession. And so these are some of the things that I look for. You know, we can go much deeper, but just on the surface of it. So where there's a struggle, where there's a big growing market, where there's a world-class team committed to, you know, solving this for a decade, 2 decades, however long it takes to solve the problem. And do they have a product where customers will be willing to pay because it's a product that needs to exist in the world versus it's a cool idea?
I would love to spend the rest of the entire show focused on this because I'm a huge Shark Tank fan. So, you know, the whole idea of pitching you, finding you, doing that whole thing. But I will proceed with some of these other questions because I want to bring it back. So you talk about resilience and you've mentioned it a couple times. What has been the key to you maintaining resilience? Because there's, you know, at points, there's something internally that you have to keep you going when you go up against challenges.
Absolutely. And I think I feel very privileged at this point in my life where I went through extreme hardship when I was growing up. And I think people would have defined my life growing up as a dead end life. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, the environment I grew up in, where I grew up in that. And what kept me going was a belief in something better out there. It happened to be my dreams, where I had this dream. I'm not even sure how it was planted in my head, but I had this dream that I could create and help change the world, for lack of a better term. Mm. And I needed to get myself to this place called Silicon Valley in order to do that. And it was extraordinarily difficult. As I say, if you looked around me, everyone around me was basically saying, you can't do this for a series of, you know, self-imposed reasons, you know. And I think it was looking back, it wasn't even towards me. It was towards their own fears, their own doubts, their own need to keep things safe versus change the status quo. And I had to dig extremely deep. And I had to do a ton of personal work in terms of, you know, meditation. And I read at one point 5,000 books over 5 years. And people are like, why did you do that? And I did it because I needed to. I needed to get past those self-doubts and, you know, the imposter syndrome and all those things inside my head that I felt was stopping me from reaching my full potential on this journey. And it was tough. For anyone listening, it was extraordinarily difficult. And there were many times where I was like, I can't keep going like this. And then I'd sit down and like, I just, you know, if I'm being vulnerable, I'd sit in the corner and I'd be like, sit there for maybe 5-10 minutes and I'd be like, okay, well, if this is my reality, it sucks. So why don't I just keep going? And I just like get up, dust myself off. And I just kept on going, knowing that as long as I didn't give up and as long as I created something in the world of value where other people could benefit from it, I could succeed in a massive way by helping other people succeed on their journeys. And I think it was an easy formula, but it worked extremely well.
Well, I hope you know how inspiring you are. Truly, those words are very meaningful. And the journey that you've been on is extraordinary. Let's talk about your book, Unemployable, How AI Transformed My Work and Life. Take us kind of through the process of wanting to get that out of, you know, you onto paper and kind of what you hope the reader takes away.
It was extremely tough. If you have any listeners who ever want to write a book, feel free to message me on LinkedIn or email me, and I will do my best to support you because it was one of the most challenging things I think I've ever done in my life. I think for me, the idea that I wanted it to be a memoir and a manifesto was unusual in the publishing industry. But for me, it was incredibly important to create a relationship of trust with the reader where I'm saying, I want to support you on your journey in order to fulfill, you know, your true potential. But in order to do that, I need you to first trust me and know who I am. Mm. And then the manifesto part for me, the idea that, you know, technology is not just a tool that we use, but that it unlocks human potential and it can drive societal progress. That was a very important part for me because I personally have, my entire life has been defined by my partnership with technology, where I had these massive dreams that I wanted to fulfill and I needed a partner along the way in order to do that. And even if it was, you know, the early internet and all these things that were available to me in order to get where I wanted to go. And I think, you know, like entrepreneurship and the importance, you know, of having goals and the importance of like lifelong learning. I know we've touched on it earlier, but for me, I felt, even though many of the themes in the book are things we all think about, my goal was that if a person could read the book and take one line out of it, like so many of the most powerful books I've read, like I think about Man's Search for Meaning and, you know, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. And if the person could read and say, I've got this one line and that will enable me now to take action and fulfill my true potential, then as the author, my goal was fulfilled, where I am such I feel so grateful for the fact that there were so many people that wrote books before me, and I stood on the shoulders of giants, and I leveraged their knowledge and insights, which, you know, took lifetimes to create. And I wanted to ensure that using the power of data. So for me, I'd studied the market, as you know, a founder would, and I could see that there was this missing piece in the market where there were things that needed to be addressed. And that's the manifesto part of the book, that even though something as simple as compound interest is something we all know about, the idea that we think about it in terms of our own careers, our own journeys as a foundational element, you know, just being consistent throughout our journeys in terms of showing up, not giving up, even when times get tough. These were things that were incredibly important for me. And I felt like if I could share it with the readers, and it would be something incredibly important as part of my own personal legacy.
You mentioned thinking of technology as a partner. Tell me more about that.
So I'll take you back. So it's maybe easier to tell you as a story. So I'm sitting in South Africa, and I don't want to spoil the book for many of your readers, but my father's died. My brother and I have to save basically a dying family business. And we don't have money. You know, like it's a pretty bad situation. And we're both very entrepreneurial. And it's not like the US. It's a very difficult system in South Africa where there's no access to capital. It's just very harsh. And we're thinking to ourselves, what can we do? So we came up with all these different business ventures. And one of the ventures we came up with was we wrote to embassies around the world. And we said, we want to work with, you know, companies in your country, and we need stock and samples of, you know, these products and these things. Now, please understand, we had no money to buy any of these stock. We could only afford, you know, like the mail for the samples. And so we went and we basically got all these samples. We sold these samples and we basically reinvented this business, but we couldn't have done it if it wasn't for the internet. So the thing that saved this business was the fact that two stores down on from our family business was an internet cafe. And we had the ability to go and sit at that internet cafe and use our own superpowers. So we both are very good researchers. And so we had an idea. But if we never had the internet, we would not have saved that business. And so it sparked something in my mind where I was like, this thing can do so much. How do I keep using it? And throughout my career, if I think about where I'm at right now, when it comes to, let's take, for example, Street Global, my investing firm, I've been using AI to invest for probably seven, 8 years. And it wasn't because I was such a visionary. I was a woman in technology who wanted to succeed, who had big dreams. And I knew the limitations of my own capabilities. I struggled to find, you know, investing partners with, you know, that were willing to give me the chance. Let's be honest. I had to use AI in order to give myself the greatest probability of success. And that is why, for me, like Unemployable AI is so important, because I see technology not as something, or AI, not as something that replaces us. It's been my own personal experience that it's like, it's my friend, it's my companion, it's my partner, it's my coach, it's my mentor. It's there to help me achieve my fullest potential. And I've got a body of evidence throughout my life that I can see it would not have been possible to have the kind of extraordinary life I now live if it wasn't for the existence of these tools.
That is, I hope everyone who is scared of AI hears you and hears you clearly that, you know, it's such a positive thing. But what are your concerns for responsible AI?
Of course, you know, ethics, you know, the social impact, you know, I think there's so much fear around like AI and human interaction, you know, the economic influence, you know, the cultural and societal factors, the long-term developments. I can go deeper in terms of job displacement and, you know, like the opportunities around that. For me, I'm very passionate about that. And the idea that the AI market currently is very market driven and, you know, like, will it surpass human intelligence? Well, it already has. We can go into that. And like the trajectory, like, is it predetermined? Is it uncontrollable? I think there's a lot of stuff that has to be discussed there. I have this, you know, I'm very passionate about women's empowerment, and I have this young woman that joined my team a year ago. She goes to the top university in Korea, and, you know, diversity of thought. And she gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to help with my AI newsletter. And she started as an intern, and she eventually became so strong because she's partnering with the AI that she's taken a leadership role when it comes to ethics and AI. Because, you know, someone at 20 years old is seeing the world through such a different lens. And I, as someone who's very passionate about AI ethics and those things, I realized that this is an area we have to go deeply into, like in terms of what we personally build, so unemployable they are. I was like, you know what? Let me put together a team of these young people, these young women who are saying, Alicia, like, I don't agree with you about that. Like, I see the world through a very different lens. These are the things that concern me in terms of ethics and like the social impact. And you say that we're going to live in the greatest time of abundance in history, that we've never experienced this kind of abundance before. Like, explain to me about job displacement. Explain to me what that's going to look like in reality and how are opportunities being created for the next generations to grow up in a world of opportunity versus machines doing everything. So from my perspective, as I say, I'm surrounded by people who are very concerned, but I think it's a matter of holding ourselves accountable, of course, this is incredibly important, you know, open source LLMs and these are all very important things to be being built in the world. But again, I come back to the fact that I see it. I see a young person at 20 years old coming into the job market and saying, well, I want to be a lawyer, or I want to be, you know, I want to be in one of these organizations, and having a conversation saying, well, the world is changing at such a rapid rate. You can affect so much more change using your AI skills, where you can impact law in amazing ways, doing the very job you're doing. Because you're engaging with thought leaders on my team, I feel like I couldn't be more excited. I couldn't be more excited, because I'm seeing people's careers where this young woman, I'm giving you as an example, it would have taken her 5 to 10 years to get to a point of such leadership, where you have executives on my team listening to her when it comes to AI and ethics. That happened in a period of a year, because she was working with the AI tools, and she just like ramped up her intellectual knowledge, and she was curious and she wants to learn. She kept asking for feedback in terms of how she was actually doing. And I think that was incredibly important, because she's got a level of mastery that I think blows her mind. And I'm just seeing it across the board.
You know, what you're sharing with me, I have to be vulnerable and say, I don't think I've looked at AI in this way before. I have looked at it more as a, I don't want to say black and white, but more of a displacement versus, you know, I understand the ability to enhancement, but the way you are describing it and how this young woman took it to advance her career. So it really is the combination of the tools are there for us to embrace, but it's on us each to look at how we can enhance the current positions. What about the women out there thinking about building a career strategy and struggling because, one, lack of clarity, but two, not sure how roles will be, I guess, the org structures that exist today might not exist in the future. What advice do you have? Because it's ambiguous, and that makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Fantastic question, and thank you for your vulnerability. What I'd suggest is, think of it like, if you think of your health, think of yourself now in the age of AI as the CEO of your own health. I'd say exactly the same thing when it comes to your career, whether you're in a big company, whatever the case may be. Your goal is to add as much value as possible to that company. So if you think of like earnings reports and all those things, your role is to impact change and to basically ensure that you are contributing, adding value, of course, thriving as an individual, but no one would ever want to lose someone that's adding tremendous value to their organization. And what I say to people is, think of what you do best. And I know people say, but that's a challenging question, but each of us knows, like if I had a chat to you and we both figure out pretty quickly in terms of what we are both best at, that thing that you are best at, think about the thing and say, okay, let me go on the internet. And what I suggest to people is build yourself an Excel spreadsheet. Keep it simple, like very simple, and say, I'm going to find the top three tools that could support me in my role in AI. And just go on Google. And I have an AI newsletter. I work extremely hard at putting this together. You can use that as a resource. And you find those three tools. So let's take, for example, sales. You're a young person in sales coming up the career ladder. So instead of thinking about, wow, this AI is going to replace me, think about it as what unique value do I add to my organization? Okay, now what three AI tools can I start playing with that basically will enhance my value even more so to this organization? And it's easy. Put it on a spreadsheet. Then say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to start getting my other people I know involved. So people who are interested in the same stuff, sales. Add them to that spreadsheet. Say, can you share your tools with me? Let's compare notes in terms of those tools. So if you picture yourself wearing a backpack, like you're all in tech, you got your backpack, you got your laptop. Inside there is your AI toolkit. And you just keep on building that toolkit. So you basically are just building your career in AI by doing the very thing you're doing. And each time you encounter a problem, you know, in your work, and you're like, that's frustrating. That's annoying me. Or you hear someone on your team, it's frustrating them. It's annoying them. Be the person that says, you know what? I'm going to go on Google. I'm going to ask GPT. I'm going to ask Bing, whatever the case may be. Go and find that AI tool. And I think for many people, there's this initial intimidation factor where you're like, you end up on that website and you're like, oh, what do I do now? First step is book a demo. If there's a video, go and get a video. Often the stuff's on YouTube. Just go watch it. And even if it's 30 seconds long, the idea that you've planted that seed is this first step. Because the more you can do this, the more you empower yourself. The more when you're meeting with your boss, whomever, your manager, you're like, hey, I saw this AI tool. I like it. Maybe our team should try it. When you are leading it, you are not falling behind. Mm-hmm. And you'll gain more and more momentum because what you'll notice is it's not scary. It's not intimidating. It's very empowering when you see yourself become more efficient or, you know, you can close a deal that you couldn't close before because in the sales context, you've got something that's really brilliant that could really help your company and help your team. And it's just like helping you just do so much better. Mm-hmm. There's no feeling greater than feeling that sense of like, wow, I'm doing so brilliantly with this thing that scared me previously. Mm-hmm. And so, as I say, it's baby steps. It's literally like, if we use the analogy, a bicycle. Mm-hmm. You're learning to ride that bicycle and you just keep growing stronger and stronger in that bicycle so you can cruise up and down those hills and you can go into the Tour de France if you so please. But the most important thing is getting going and saying, I'm curious enough that even if I'm nervous, I'm going to override it. And if you say commit like 20 minutes a week, 30 minutes a week, just to get over that initial reticence, before you know it, you'll be on your way and you'll get promoted. It'll happen so rapidly. Mm. I see it across the board where I'm like, wow, like this person's incredible. And I've seen it with my own team where I'm saying to the person who's closed-minded, this is not going to work. Like this can't work, versus the person that's like, I'm going to dive in here and I don't necessarily know this, but I'm going to figure this out. Who would you rather have on your team over the next decade?
Absolutely. This is such a great discussion. I feel energized. I really do. And I hope everyone listening does too. You're such a well-respected influencer in the space of AI. What is your main focus or takeaway you want people to learn from our conversation today?
Have courage. Mindset is going to be, I think, the most important thing in terms of future. Be adaptable. Drive the change. Be the person that actually drives the change. Know your principles, you know, like hold on to those principles as times change. Really take bold action. So where there's an opportunity in your organization to be the person that champions AI, be that person. As far as personal goes, I would say have a commitment to live and lead with courage and purpose. And I think motivate others to embrace change. Things are getting very exciting, but be that person, be that leader that inside of you is just like screaming. It wants to lead. Be that person. Go for it.
I love to talk on this podcast about personal brand and how we kind of have the ability to write our own narrative and hopefully do it before other people do it. So how have you intentionally designed or worked on your personal brand? And what advice do you have for women when they try to think about putting themselves out there?
I think knowing your own unique value, I really had to learn to own that in terms of what set me apart from everyone else, you know, being willing to take that risk in terms of who I am and not being afraid to have rejection in that or to have people not liking me or, you know, like polarizing people. So I think that's number one. I think staying true to your vision is incredibly important too, because the more you want to be a leader, your brand has to reflect your true self and your core mission. I think that's incredibly important too, being clear in terms of your core mission. Crafting a compelling narrative, it's taken me a very long time to do, but I think all of this comes down to like you valuing yourself in terms of your self-worth. I think that's really important. A consistent communication in terms of everything you do and everyone you do it with. So like having that knowledge and skills to basically have the right team, have the right people in place. Investing learning, I think, is incredibly important. So I think I've spent a ton of money, but it was like I felt like for me, building my brand was always being surrounded by the best in the world and saying that there's no greater investment you can make than spending that money, because I get to hang out with people like you. Therefore, I think strategic relationships as well. So I think something that I became very good at, but it took a lot of courage, was learning from people that were much smarter than me and willing to give me what was constructive feedback, but at times could have felt very painful. I knew that it was coming from a place of care and saying, okay, this person is here to support me. And especially when it came to building my own brand, I received a lot of feedback going back to my book, and I had to sit with it and I had to say, well, these people care and I trust their judgment and they understand the brand in a very objective way. I'm going to listen to them because I fundamentally believe that they are right. And I think, again, you were so kind with being open and vulnerable, you know, sharing your successes, sharing your failures, in order for the right community of people to, you know, to follow you, to participate in their brand. Like I always say to people, you don't need a million customers. If you've got a business, you're starting out. If you have you have 100 customers, you can have a very, very nice business. And like the idea that there are, you've got the power of the internet, there are over 3 billion people online, and you have the power of AI, because I keep telling you, you've got to use AI. And your brand can explode. But I think those core things are critically important in terms of creating a brand that's defined by excellence and success.
What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Wow. so much. To be kinder, you know, like embrace my uniqueness. Like I was told when I was growing up, like my brain never worked the way everyone else's did. And it made me very insecure. And I think that was always why I was so grateful to the AI, because it enabled me to look perceptively more normal to other people, because it was, you know, the more normal one of the two of us. And I think now I look back and I'm like, be as weird as you want to be weirder than you want to be. I think telling myself to even more resilient, more adaptable, take more risks, I think is a bigger one. Like I think there were opportunities where I could have even taken much bigger risks, but I didn't. And it was like, you know, I was afraid to affect, to impact the people around me at times, whereas, you know, concerned that I was getting too big and it was making them uncomfortable. Now I know that I surround myself with people that are like you, like, you know, they're passionate about, we equally on each other's journeys. We're pushing each other forward. We want to see each other succeed. You're not going to sit there saying, be small. I think, again, I would tell my 20-year-old self to even go deeper in terms of learning. So, you know, for example, I told myself at that time, my late father spoke 7 languages fluently. And I told myself at the time, I never had time to learn more languages. And I was like, I'll put that off till later in my life. Now, I think I would have found the time, even if it was an hour a week or something, but I think that was something. And I think recognizing my inherent worth, self-worth, I think being my own best friend, it took me, you know, like a very long time to get to that point. But I think I wish I'd known that earlier on. And I think what else? Staying true to my values. I think like there are times where we have to question our values and that, and, you know, you have to make decisions that are tough to make. And it takes often decades. You know, I listened to Steve Jobs' speech at Stanford at least once a month. And, you know, talk about connecting the dots, looking back versus going forward. And I think if you have a vision for your life, like no matter how grandiose it may seem to other people, no matter how, as I say, most people growing up thought I was insane. You know, they were just like, where do you come from? Have you arrived from another planet? But the idea that just stay true to your values, like it's going to work out. Just trust. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of the fear. Let go of the self-doubt. It is going to work because you're doing all the right stuff. So just surrender to the process, knowing that you'll have the wisdom in a few decades' time. But right now, you just need to trust that you are like you're building, you're creating, and you're creating this beautiful life. And I think for me, something that I am passionate about now is that I look back on my day and I say to myself, was I in awe of today? Am I delighted by my day? And if the answer is no, I step back and I say, what do I need to change? Because I want to live a life now. If I've taken anything out of COVID and what we all went through, is that our time is precious. And the idea that at 20, I wish I'd known about this, where we have the right to create a life where we're in awe of it every single day. We don't have to wait till we're 80 years old, looking back on our life to say like, wow, way by my life. You have that right to do it at 20 years old.
That is so beautiful. And again, I could ask you so many more questions, but I'm going to end with, what does to be bolder mean to you?
You define to be bolder to me. Like, aww. I think, like you do, like you've got this incredible energy, you've got incredible values. You challenge the norm. You just like, you show up, you're doing incredible work. You're impacting us all in a massive, massive way. And I think at times, leaders like you don't get that pat on the back. You know, there's this expectation that hey, you got it all covered. You know, like you know you're doing a great job. You don't need me to tell you. But I think it's nice to sometimes say, and you were so open and vulnerable. It's nice to say, thank you for showing up. Thank you for being you. Thank you for creating what you've created so a woman like me can participate in it, because it is a lonely journey. It is a very tough journey. And I think we all, as women, especially doing what we do, we carry a lot inside of us, and you don't have the room to share it. And often you got to, you know, you're just keeping on going, pretending that you're brave and strong mm-hmm. and you've got it together, when you feel like there's a part of you dying inside. And you, with your beautiful smile and your amazing energy, and you define it for me. And I just feel such a sense of gratitude for being able to participate in this and to support you in some small way.
Wow. You really don't know what that means. So I appreciate you saying that. That really is truly a gift. How can someone get in touch with you? How can they grab your book? How can they sign up for your newsletter? Because I want to do it all.
So, thank you. Thank you so much. That means a great deal. Get in touch with me. You can follow me on LinkedIn. And if you've got a specific question there, drop me a message in terms of what you want to talk to me about, because I'll then make sure to do my best to follow up with you. You can email me. So I've created a very simple email address. I'm just trying to make sure that I get it right. It's as@unemployable.ai. And so I know I've got a very weird accent, but it's as@unemployable.ai. Email me. I'd love to hear from you. In terms of the book, I feel such a sense of gratitude. I just found out that it's an international bestseller in many countries around the world. So I'm incredibly appreciative. So you can find it on Amazon. I'd love for you to buy it. I'd love for you to read it. I'd love to be on that journey with you, to hear from you, for you to share your story with me. And then if you follow me on LinkedIn, you can get my newsletter there and give me your feedback on it. Tell me what you want to hear, what you're missing out on there in the newsletter, so that we can keep that conversation going. For me, it's about a community, and I love hearing from you, and I love supporting you in your journeys, because it's individuals like Mary who made it possible for me, and I want to pay it forward, and I want to see the next generation thrive in what I perceive as the greatest time to be alive.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the episode today. It was really fun chatting with my guest. If you liked our show, please like it and share it with your friends. If you want to learn what we're up to, please go check out our website at 2bboulder.com. That's the number 2, little b, boulder.com.